1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, we are on tonight in Portland, and we're very, very happy to be back on the air in the city of Portland, Oregon, that is. We've been on in Portland, Maine, but we were on and then we're off in Portland as the station that we were on decided to opt for the high revenue stream of oldies. But KCMD at 970 on your AM dial, I think somebody, maybe they were jokingly calling it Johnson Radio, or is that a gag? Anyway, that's what we're on. We're back on in Portland, and we're very, very happy. And on May the 23rd on KIOL-FM, we'll be on the air in Houston again. So gradually we return to the scene of the crime in a few of these markets that, you know, when we first rolled our show out in the, God, it's now, it's going to be 6 years this fall. 6 years we went national this fall. And in 1999, when we first rolled the show out nationally, we were on in a lot of towns. We were on in Dallas and Kansas City and in Philly. And then things started to happen. For instance, they got a kind of a noseful of what the show was, and it wasn't quite fitting into their news talk plans. And so, you know, we kind of, as water finds its own level, the Phil Hendry Show is finding its level, and we're on in about 105, 110 markets now. And this coming Wednesday, for those of you listening to us in Toronto, we're going to do a live interview. I believe it's set to air at 5:10 Eastern Time with Larry Federick.
What's his name?
Larry Federick.
Mr. Hall.
Oh, come on, man. David, that's the guy's name.
Look, I don't need to tell you again and again that the FCC...
The guy's name is Larry Federick. What do you want to do? Have him change his name?
Who is he?
He's a Canadian guy up at...
Well, there you go. They don't care, do they? They don't have the FCC up there. A guy can call himself Larry Nutsack, and it's not going to be a problem. But down here it is. And you're going on a guy's show named Larry Nutsack.
No, I'm not. His name is Larry Federick.
What does that mean in Russian, bud?
Nutsack.
Oh, is that right? So that's a Russian name that means nutsack. Is that it?
That's my understanding.
Okay, so there you go. Thanks a lot, Phil. Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Going to the wall for you every day, fighting with advertisers, fighting with the technocrats that run Clear Channel. And hi, I'm Phil Hendry. This coming Wednesday at 5:10, I'll be on the Larry Nut...
Okay, you've said it enough. Sorry, Larry. I'll be on the Larry Show. 5:10 on Toronto's CKTB, News Talk 6:10 at 5:10 on Wednesday evening. That's Eastern Time. It'll be 2 o'clock on the... Well, it doesn't matter. If the UCAT's listening to us in Canada, that's all that matters to you. 5:10 on Wednesday afternoon on the Larry Federick Show. And in any event, to make a long story short, so we're very, very happy to be back on in the towns that we're back on. And there's a few more good stories that will be had and heard as the days and the weeks sort of unfold. So tonight... Thank you, Portland. We're very, very happy to be back on there in the great city of Portland up there, the City of Roses. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Also on the 11th of June, we will be visiting our friends in Tucson. And for those of you who want a little bit more information about the Phil Hendry Show, things that are happening with our show, how to get our CD, how to listen to us online, how to get the all hip, the new, the now, the kind of wow thing that's happening, baby, the podcast. You just go to our website and click on podcast. Go to the little Phil Hendry Show Media Center, and you'll find out how to download the show automatically for only $6.95 a month. Now, I do say this with the greatest of humility, but I think when you download our show, you're getting a little bit more of a bang for your buck than you do for a lot of shows, because we've got a serious amount of content on our program, and we keep it archived, and you have access to all of that stuff. You got a backstage pass. All right, so I don't want to do a whole pitch on that, but I thought I'd do a little plug-a-rooski there for the website. So let's see. Saturday night, Maria and I decided to do our date night in Hollywood. I can't tell you the last time I drove down Sunset Boulevard. Now, this would be interesting to you guys who may live in the L.A. area, or those of you who have never been here. When I was in high school, we used to joyride down, you know, I would crawl out the window of my house and get into a car with a buddy, and we'd all go down, and we'd just drive down Sunset. And we'd pick up hitchhikers, and we'd, you know, yell at hookers, and, hey, what it is, how much, and then just speed away. And we'd look at all the freaks hanging out in front of those clubs, you know, whiskey. And I remember the play Gazzari's on the Strip. Who the guy with the guy they called the Godfather Rock and Roll? Gazzari. I guess that was the guy's name. And the other place, the Roxy. And so Saturday night, I said, it's been so long. I like jazz. And I haven't heard any jazz, I haven't listened to any jazz in so long, I wouldn't know where to even begin to go see jazz in L.A., even though there used to be a couple of good jazz clubs. The Lighthouse, long since gone, out in Hermosa Beach. Shelley's Manhole, long since gone. It shows you how, you know, long it's been for me. In any event, I just kind of picked up my friendly weekly newspaper. That's what you do. Don't go to the L.A. Times or to the L.A. What's going on? I don't know. Find one of those rags that are free. Go into the thing. It's got the you know, the strip. Yeah, there you go. The topless model on the cover. And we went over to this Catalina Jazz Club over here on Sunset. Now, the Catalina Club looks from the outside like it's a precinct house for a police station. It says, Catalina Club, go around back, just don't even ask. Just don't even worry. It's like it's a social club for the mafia. You go around, you go in the back door, boom, there it is, you know. And we went and we saw a guy, he's kind of an old-timer, but I like the guy because years ago when I was doing my show, before we got syndicated, we did a bit one night called Phil Sings the Hits Drunk. Now, why did I do that? Because all of a sudden, one day I was walking down the street, and I was thinking, why don't it be funny to have an album, so-and-so sings the hits, but he sings them drunk? Like, what if there's now Frank Sinatra sings all of his classics juiced? You know, just Frank Sinatra sings them the way you've never heard them sung before. He's hammered on Cuddy. So, well, we can do that. So I put out a pitch to my listeners. Can we get a band? Well, one of the people listening to my show was a singer, and she was singing at the time with Jack Sheldon's band. And Jack came in with like a quartet. And he's the funniest cat, and he's a great trumpet player and a nice guy. So he came and he backed us as we sang these ridiculous songs on the air live. So anyway, this was Jack's band that was over to this Catalina Club that we saw, like a 9-piece brass band. It was fantastic. And I went over and I said, Jack, Phil Hendry. And he goes, I'm sorry? No, I said, yeah. Anyway, he was a very nice guy, and we chatted. Then next thing he said, let's just drive down Sunset, because I want to get some dessert. And maybe we'll see a place that we want to stop at whatever you want to do. She goes, yeah, that sounds like fun. Because I can't tell you the last time I just went from one end of Sunset Boulevard. You know, we'll drive all the way to the freeway. We'll go all the way to the 405 through Beverly Hills, whatever. So we're driving along. And, man, things have changed, you know, so much. There's the IHOP where Kathleen Salaya almost blew that cop up and then ran off to St. Paul to make oatmeal cookies. And then over here is the Hyatt they used to call a riot house. And then right over here is that motel where Spirit took the cover of their album picture. And then over here is Hollywood High. And you keep on driving down. There's Guitar Center. And then now here we come up on the Laugh Factory, and they had a line around the block for Dana Cook. I mean, it must have been 300 people waiting in line to go see Dana Cook. And we keep driving down, and there's the whiskey, and we keep going, and there's the one other called the Roxy's. I said, you want to go to the Rainbow Grill? Because it used to be the place to go in and just look at, like, people claim they were the lead singer with Uriah Heep, just to watch them act stupid. You could go into this place called the Rainbow Grill, and there'd be maybe three or four really beautiful chicks sitting in there, and some dude would walk over to them and claim to have been like the bass player with Jethro Tull, right? Not that that is going to get you laid, but I guess, you know. And so that was always kind of funny, looking at these jive dudes. So then we kept on driving until finally we ran out of Hollywood. There was nothing left. I said, well, obviously there's nothing going on there anymore, other than the Laugh Factory and the whiskey and a bunch of joints that have these Italian names. There is nothing, you know, because I wanted to get some, like, dessert. So you're going through Sunset, down Sunset Boulevard, you look at all these really high-class places. Where do you think we wind up? The Cheesecake Factory. Just goes to show you, you know, at the end of the day, we could go over here to, let's go over there to Maestro's in Beverly Hills, or we could go over here to the, you know, whatever this, you know, what's the place there that Spa goes? We got to, nah, screw it, Cheesecake Factory. I want something large, I want it cheap, and I want a lot of it. So, we wound up at the Cheesecake Factory. And I sit down there. Now, I don't know what it is about this country of ours, this marvelous country of ours, but we've just gone in for quantity big time, man. I mean, it's got to be big. It's got to be big, and it's got to be now. It's the guy who figured that out was the first guy to start making the dough on the supersized thing. McDonald's went there. But Cheesecake Factory, okay. Well, what do you feel like, sir? Well, I don't know. I feel like maybe a, you know, like an ice cream sundae or something like that. And, well, here's the... She brought me something that was like, have you ever seen a chalice at the Catholic Mass? It was a chalice. It was a large chalice of just 15 scoops of vanilla ice cream with the swirled fudge and the and whipped cream. Yeah, I like whipped cream. As a matter of fact, I really like whipped cream. But you didn't have to empty the can on top of this thing. Just with a cherry on top. Then Maria, she said, well, I'd like a piece of chocolate cake. Really? Would you like whipped cream with that? Yeah, I think I would. Uh-huh. Well, guess what? They brought her a wedge of cake. It was, I don't know what could have been left of the cake. They brought her most of the cake. And then, you know how you just used to do a little swirl of whipped cream? These cats, like, had the Great Wall of China of whipped cream right around, just like a wall, a large, just guarding the cake. So what do you wind up doing? Do you wind up saying, Jesus, that's ridiculous. No, you just wind up absentmindedly, after you're done with yours, absentmindedly spooting whipped cream off your wife's dish as you talk. Really? Yeah, I agree with you on that. You know, so, you know, I'm like, what enough to eat that freaking ice cream sundae? I'm just spooning that whipped cream off of that cake, and then she's all done, and so I start eating the cake, too. By the time I waddled out of there, and guess where we went? We found this Cheesecake Factory, man. I could go all the way to Beverly Hills. And boy, there's no place deader than Beverly Hills at like 1 o'clock in the morning. That place is a ghost town. It's dead. Do you know that Beverly Hills is like nothing more? It's like West Palm Beach, just a lot of old folks who go to bed at 9 o'clock. They roll up the side. We've got like two restaurants that are open. We went in, we did that, and we said, well, that was a lot of fun. Let's get out of here. And then you come home stuffed. And the first thing you want to do is just lay down. I mean, how old and tired are you anyway? Hi, I just had a lot of whipped cream and ice cream. May I lay down somewhere? Can I just lay down on your floor? Sure. In fact, I think the Cheesecake Factory should have nap rooms. You know, Cheesecake Factory, yes, come in for our delicious desserts. And there's a place for you to lay down after you eat them. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This hour we will have a mystery theater. That's right, mystery theater coming up on the Phil Hendry Show. This hour, stick around.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, time for our request flashback, and we play a piece from a previous show every night that's requested by a listener. And you can do that at phs@philhendryshow.com. phs@philhendryshow.com. Request a bit you heard, and we'll try and get it on for you. And this one is from Mike. He says, hey, Phil, one of the funniest bits I ever heard was where Margaret Gray was trying to suggest to women that they should all put ketchup on tampons and hang them from the antennas of their cars in support of Teresa Heinz Carey. Thanks, Mike. Here it is from the campaign 2004, Margaret.
Yes, I'd just like to say that not all women, and I capitalize A-L-L women, are not for Teresa Heinz Carey. And I think Laura Bush is a fantastic lady, a moral lady, and a gracious lady. And they have my vote 110%.
Well, I think that Laura Bush comes off that way. I agree with you, Kathy. I think that she is very good at getting women like such as yourself or whoever to believe that. But I'm a little bit, excuse me, I'm a little bit different. I've been a journalist for 30 years. Just look at her. You've had girlfriends like this. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, look at me. Look at me.
I've got a mother that is gracious like her. I can see her the way she is as a wonderful Christian lady. And a wonderful supporter of her husband, who keeps her mouth shut when the time is right to keep her mouth shut. And you can't say she doesn't have a backbone because she doesn't show it in public because she has grace.
No, I didn't say she doesn't have a backbone. If anything, I'm saying the opposite. I'd say, don't you have girlfriends? You know, they got a brand new Cadillac. Oh, don't you think I'm better than you? That's what she's saying. She's better than you and me.
I have to disagree
with
that.
She's married to the president, and she thinks she's all that and a bag of chips. And I'm saying, women such as yourself, Kathy, women such as myself, on November the 2nd, the feminine napkin statement, I think, is one that we can make and make forcefully.
Well, you know what? I'm old-fashioned. I like my husband to open the door for me. I'm teaching my sons to open the door for women. I like my we walk on the inside of the curb. We don't walk on the outside. I think that's old-fashioned. I think it's respectful, and I think it's gracious and nice.
Yeah, that is kind of cool, Kathy. I mean, I still walk onto the other side of my wife on the street side, you know?
Well, all of that is really nice, but I'm talking about the feminine napkin statement. I want to know where Kathy stands on that.
On the what statement? I'm sorry?
On the feminine napkin idea that we had for the Kerry campaign.
I don't agree with the Kerry campaign at all. I think Lisa Hines Kerry opens her mouth too much, and I think she's absolutely. I think she, if all honesty,
you're kidding
I don't
me.
Even like to speak like this. I think she'd be a disgrace as a first lady.
I agree. I think the woman is.
You know something? You don't know her the way I know.
No, I agree. I think that outburst in public against her husband was embarrassing. He showed himself to be almost on a leash. Boy, you talk about a guy being on a leash. I bet you she reads him the Riot Act. And I don't think there's anything charming about the woman. And for you to fly, this is what she wanted to do, Kathy, soak tampons in Heinz ketchup and fly them from car antennas.
Yeah. You're not catching anything on my antenna, except for a campaign.
All right, then you go ahead and vote for Laura Bush, and every day for the next 4 years, you'll look at her, she comes on TV and says, basically, hi, Kathy, I'm Laura Bush. I'm married to the president, and you're married to a loser.
I knew there was going to be some kicker there. Loser. All right, let's now join Mystery Theater in progress.
What are you?
Well, I want to put on the Mystery Theater.
Oh, that's wonderful. It reminds me of the radio.
Yes, today's entertainment is so foul. Foul and foul again.
Let's go back to the day when Mystery Theater was on, shall we?
Yes. And now, Mystery Theater. The Case of the Meat Grinder.
I'm asking you right now, where did you guys hide the diamonds? You know I'll feed you into that meat grinder if you don't tell me.
I'm not telling you nothing, okay? I ain't saying nothing. I don't know nothing, and I'm not saying nothing to you.
So you want to be fed feet first into a meat grinder?
I don't want to be, but I will.
Okay, Bob, hit it.
Join us next week for Mystery Theater.
Well, that's...
Isn't that quality? That's quality. Not what they do anymore.
No.
All right. Well, get them off.
Okay.
Come on, get them off. Thank you. Who's having an anniversary tonight? Anybody in the crowd having an anniversary? Huh? There's a couple over here. All right. This one's for you. This is called Love Can Make Things Good.
How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Bill Johnson, he's the only guy that can talk and play the trumpet at the same time.
Yay.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So let's join Mystery Theater next week and find out what happened to Bob after he got fed into the meat grinder. That was one that Harry suggested, because Harry got a whole bunch of Mystery Theaters, and what'd you get, Harry? Did you get some Bob Hope and stuff?
Yeah, some old Bob Hope radio stuff and Alfred Hitchcock presents
Alfred Hitchcock.
On the radio.
Because, hey, let's do, you know, they got those old Mystery Theaters, remember those? On CBS used to have a Mystery Theater, right? So there's our Mystery Theater. The guy gets fed into a meat grinder. I saw a movie once. Do you know this movie, The Exterminator? Oh, my God. Did you ever see it? They fed a guy right into a freaking meat grinder. And then they showed what was coming out. I'll tell you what, for $1.29 a pound, it looked a little fatty, though. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We were just talking about the horror movies that are really the truly effective horror films have nothing to do with the graphic depiction of gore. I mean, those are fun. Friday the 13th is a hoot. Halloween is fun. It's fun. That's not a scary movie. No. No, the scary movies are I Spit on Your Grave. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exterminator. In other words, and we were talking about how in the 60s, the quality of the filmmaking was, especially with horror movies, was so suspect you'd swear you're looking at a documentary. In other words, it's cheesy to the point of, wait a minute, this is beginning to look like a home movie, like it really happened. And, like, I Spit on Your Grave is about a woman who gets sexually assaulted by a number of men, and the rest of the movie is her getting her revenge. And it's really frightening for guys. The women probably thought, this is fun. Go get me the large box of the Raisinets, will you, while you throw up? Oh, thank you. Okay. All the guys are running out of the theater. Yeah, I Spit on Your Grave was frightening. Just the movie, Night of the Living Dead wasn't graphically violent, but Night of the Living Dead, the first time you see it, is very disturbing because it's black and white, and it has this, and it's got that kind of shoulder-mounted camera look where everything's moving around in a disquieting way, and you'd swear to God you're actually in a house with people that are fighting off zombies, and they did a really cool job with the TV station reports. All right, in Pittsburgh, we're getting reports of individuals that are ransacking stores and eating the flesh of their victim. Bob, could you double check that? You know, it was just, like, crazy enough. Then they got the sheriff the next morning moving through the countryside, rounding up the zombies. You know, are they slow-moving, Sheriff? Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up. All right, Bob, there's another one for the fire. It's some redneck sheriff. Guys with the white socks and the blue ribbon beer, and these ghouls would just be staggering along. All right, get another one, Ed. Plap. They pop it in the head and throw it on the fire. And so, really great horror movies got nothing whatsoever to do with graphic depiction of gore, necessarily. It's the really disturbing juxtaposing of images and stuff. Like that flick, The Hitchhiker, you were telling me about, Harry, where they pull a guy apart. They tie him between two cars going in opposite directions. I mean, come on. I saw another flick once where they stuck a guy in a decompression chamber, and then they released the pressure all at once. So that, like, his just body exploded. And so, you know, it was one of those things where all of a sudden you see a blood smear. It was like a large, old washing machines in laundromats where you open up the big windowed door? Well, they stuck the guy in there, and the dude's in there, and he's looking like, what the hell's going to happen? And the doctor is some mad scientist. I'll tell you, Professor, that this is what we can do to you if you don't give me the information I want. Whoop! You know, and he hits this valve. And the next thing you see is just like this blood smear on the window. I thought The Fly was pretty freaky, too. You know, that whole idea of in the original Fly, the guy gets into a, I forget what happens, but he gets into this, what do they call that thing? The tractor beam or the particle disseminator and reassembler. And he came out looking pretty bad. You know, he was like just a lump of flesh or something with a hand. That was all whack. You know, so those are the flicks that always scared me, man. I could go see. I mean, Halloween to me from the beginning was a great, great series of just a fun Friday night. Come on, let's go see what Michael Myers is going to do this year. Oh, wait a minute. Is he the guy with the mask? Ooh. Gee, I wonder if he's going to die at the end of this movie. Take a freaking 22 caliber cannon off of a tank, hit him point blank in the head with it, and suddenly, dun, 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 he's not here. He was here a minute ago. Yeah, well, I guess he's a ghost. There's only that one flick I saw. Remember the stranger that got off the bus in Halloween? The guy is like some cat that got off a bus, and he's going to be the, you know, the astral dude that's going to help him out with Michael Myers, because this, we're not dealing with a regular guy. He's like a freaking ghost now. Well, I hope so, man. Do you know that Michael Myers may just be a ghost, a spirit? Well, after blowing the guy up 8 million times, I mean, why don't they just park his ass on an atom bomb? Go ahead and pull the switch, watch the mushroom cloud go up, watch everything disappear, and then go over to see if he's okay. Yeah, he's still here. He's walking around. I knew it. That's when movies start to get really stupid, and that's why Halloween began to get silly. And Friday the 13th got ridiculously silly, and so did, you know, Freddy Krueger became, I mean, the poor character that the guy that plays Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund, I bet you after a while he told the director, come on, we can't make this guy too cute. You've made him into just, he's not even menacing anymore. I mean, think about what this guy was. He was a child molester. He was a child molester who they set fire to his house and burned him up. Okay, now that's a pretty sick and twisted guy, and a fairly sick and twisted reaction, kind of a mob reaction, right? So we're dealing with the dark side of human nature here. So what do we do with that? Let's turn him into a cartoon character here for the next 8 years, to the point where he's like doing stand-up. Ah, kids, they say the darndest things, ha ha ha, with his razor blade hands, and then they got him up against the frame. So the whole thing just really, if it ever was scary, it stopped being scary. All those movies stopped being scary. With Halloween, that stopped being scary after the second one. And you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, the same thing. But the really cool, and even Resident Evil, with all of the gory stuff that goes on. I mean, you want scary? 28 Days Later. 28 Days Later, greatest zombie movie ever made. Go see it. It just came out. When I say just came out, it came out within the last 2 years. And, in fact,
who would win in a fight, Freddy Krueger or Edward Scissorhands? Who do you think?
I don't care, bud. I'm not even talking about that anymore. So 28 Days Later...
he had the same hands and everything, don't he?
Who?
Freddy Krueger had an Edward Scissorhand.
Not even the same character, you dumbass. Freddy Krueger was a murderer and Edward Scissorhands was a cool guy.
He's a gardener.
Yeah, he was a gardener, exactly. What, do you think he's going to get into a fight with Freddy Krueger? Freddy Krueger would win.
Why?
Because Freddy Krueger's evil and bad, and Edward Scissorhands is a nice guy, and he'd wind up getting just sliced to ribbons before he even knew what happened.
I guess he wouldn't be able to complete his gardening jobs.
No, I guess he'd be late for his gardening jobs, yeah. I think Edward Scissorhands is the guy who did the topiary of Bobby Dooley's breasts, if you want my honest opinion. So, I forget what I was talking about.
As usual.
Thank you. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Dotter with How Stuff Works coming up.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenny Rogers. And welcome to the Kenny Rogers Let's Jump on the Star Wars Bandwagon and Make Some Money Special. Our special guest tonight,
Of course, Harrison Ford.
Yay. Thank you.
We're also going to have Carrie Fisher. Carrie Fisher, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Hamill.
Yay.
Alec Guinness.
Yay.
That guy that was the weightlifter in Clockwork Orange who eventually did become Darth Vader, but only the guy in the suit. James Earl Jones did the voice, but that guy who was the weightlifter in Clockwork Orange.
Yay.
Also, the guy that was in the Chewbacca suit.
Yay.
This is the Kenny Rogers Let's Jump on the Star Wars Bandwagon and Make Some Money While the Getting's Good special. He is African-American, but we're going to bring him on the show anyway. Billy D. Williams.
All right.
Anthony Daniels. Peter Mayhew. Frank Oz. James Earl Jones. Kenny Baker. Michael Pennington.
Phil.
Yeah.
Hold on. What's going on?
I know Kenny Rogers was here and now he's...
Did he passed out?
I think he's drunk.
Oh, jeez.
Mr. Rogers, come on. Let's get out of here, man. All right. Kenneth Cawley and Dick.
Get out of here.
Kill the music, bud. He's drunk.
Drunk with him.
I think he's hammered. Mr. Rogers. Ah. Dennis Lawson and Feminine Taylor. He's drunk.
Get him out of there, will you? He's ruining your show.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rogers. It's been nice having you here.
Pip Miller.
Who's Pip Miller?
He was in the Star Wars movie. I don't know.
Well, get that guy out of there.
And Toby Philpott.
I'm expecting to say Toby Philpott as the beaver. Get him out of there!
I'm trying to move him, okay? Mr. Rogers, you're hammered. Obviously, this is no time to be doing your Star Wars special. Eileen Baker. And Alan Bennett.
Will you get him out of there?
Come on, move him, bud.
Come on. Come on! Stupid.
And the Ewoks! Yeah, that's great, man. Get him out of here. What a hammered drunk. Look at Kenny, man. There's only so many of those specials you can do, dude, before it just... The well, you're just pumping a dry weller, man. Every time with you and your specials. Who's the guy over there that green lights half of this stuff? Hey, isn't it time we do a Kenny Rogers special? Oh, come on. Not again. Yes. I got to do one of those. We need a Christmas special, Easter special, Mother Day special. It'll all be a bunch of those kind of semi-quasi-country people that even cats that are into Frank Sinatra could sort of like. Barbara Mandrell, you know what I mean. Bring her out of retirement for the ninth time. So Kenny be doing a Star Wars special here pretty quick. I'm going to go over here to Jeff Dowder. Jeff, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil, with another edition of How Stuff Works. I'd like to tell you how you can make your own R2-D2 robot, but first, this word from Cowcan. You know, my dogs love good, fresh meat, and they want it to be stewed with maybe just bits of corn and carrot with it. That's why I get the Cowcan Dog Food Stew. You can heat it up. It makes a very nice broth. Serve it with a very light wine. And it...
Would you come on?
Sorry. So, here's how stuff works, Phil. Here's how to make your own R2-D2. First of all, get a trash can, put some Christmas lights on it, duct tape a pair of roller skates to the bottom, and if you can go to the circus and steal a midget to live inside of it to make it wiggle and beep, that's fantastic. Also, you'll need to feed the midget. And now this word from...
Okay, that's it.
What are you talking about?
Okay, obviously that segment doesn't work either. So that's like 15 minutes of nothing.
Oh, I thought the Kenny Rogers special was good.
Why?
Because it told you everybody's in a movie.
After you get past Mark Hamill, who cares? What do you mean, Tony Philpott? Hey, man. And of course, the great... Who? Tony Philpott? All right, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, let's go to another phone call here. I've got Hal on the line. Hey, Hal, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. Hal Levalier. We are enjoying your program here. I wanted to ask you if you knew anything about Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck having a baby.
I did not know that.
He doesn't know it. See, I told him.
Hi, Levalier, dear. How are you?
Fine.
Let me do it. Talk to me. Roger, we're about 150 miles.
Somebody talk to me.
I'm sorry, husband. Phil, what do you know about Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck having a baby?
I don't know anything about that.
You're doing it wrong. Hi, Phil. Hal Levalier. Do you know if Jennifer Garner...
I said I don't know if they're having a baby.
He doesn't know. Why didn't you say something?
Phil, Hal wants to know... Do you know?
No, I don't know if Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck are having a baby.
Phil, do you really think the world needs another bucktooth alcoholic?
Phil, this is...
What is that supposed to mean?
Hold on, Phil.
We're stalling, you whore! See you later, Phil. It's been nice knowing you.
There they are, Hal and Viola. What the world needs is another bucktooth alcoholic. That's very nice. That's nice talk, man. Nice talk. All right, Phil Hendry here, reminding you that our radio show is on each and every night at this time on your local radio station. And don't forget... What the hell?
Phil, we haven't stalled yet, but it will be very shortly. I just want to tell you that Steve Bozell... Green.
Are you all right?
No, I'm not all right. Steve Bozell, Bob Green, the Mystery Theater characters, Kenny Rogers, Jeff Dowder, and, of course, me. How about you, whore?
And me, Viola.
And me, Hal.
We're played by Phil Hendry.
Good night.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
God.